Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, Christmas came early for A-State athletics. We'll recap a perfect start to conference play for men's basketball. The women also off to a perfect start in Sun Belt play. They've moved their win streak to 8 in a row. We'll talk about that later on, but we'll start with football. And for just the second time since joining the FBS, the Red Wolves have won bowl games in back-to-back seasons. The only other time it happened was the 2012 and 2013 teams that won back-to-back GoDaddy Bowls. But after winning the 68 Ventures Bowl last season, A-State has won the inaugural Xbox Bowl over Missouri State. Did so on Thursday night by the final score of 34-28 at the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas. We'll talk all about the game, but I'll start with just the experience itself. It was top-notch, and we've been to a lot of bowl games over the years. I put this right up there in that top group. This was as good of a bowl experience as the Red Wolves have had over the years. Everything from the involvement of Xbox. They became, and we talked with Sean Johnson, the executive director of the Xbox Bowl a couple of weeks ago, as soon as this was announced, and he talked about how quick this was thrown together. I mean, Xbox became the presenting sponsor here in the last 6 weeks. And they threw everything behind it, from the characters that were there at the fan fest to at the coin toss and after the game, during the game. The trophy itself was so creative, but I think that just made it all the much better, just having them as behind it as they were.
And full disclosure for the listeners out there, I was not in Frisco last week. We had other events to make sure we got executed, so I was sort of taking this in, honestly, just off the pictures and videos and the social media, and I mean, it looked the part. And I do think Xbox jumping in, man, that's huge. And obviously from a player gift standpoint, that's bigger than huge. I mean, what those guys got and how excited they were. But just overall, all the touches. I mean, it's great to see a company the size of Xbox get in on a game. And, you know, Xbox has the money to sponsor whatever bowl game they want in terms of naming rights deals. And so to do it, to help get a game off the ground and it feature a couple of group of six teams and then put all the marketing behind it, that was nice to see. And then by all accounts, and obviously you know better than I, you're the other star of the show, no pun intended, was the star and the ability to just kind of be kind of on that campus and have everything you need for the bowl experience right there in one spot.
Just such a neat environment. And look, I'm from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. Frisco's a new thing for me because it was little bitty. Even when I was going to school at North Texas 25 years ago, it's exploded. I mean, it is a really good-sized city now, over 200,000 people, and it's just fantastic. The whole landscape around the Star and all the restaurants and the Championship Plaza area. We got there on Tuesday night and went straight to the Star after we had checked in to the hotel. They've got football sitting out on that big field right in front of the Ford Center. And Grizz and I pick it up and immediately we start playing catch. And there's other people doing the same thing around the field. And then we go down and eat at a restaurant where we actually had the big alumni party before the game, sidecar social, and had a great time. But all kinds of shops and things to do around there, and it just made for a really good experience, a great venue with the Star itself. It's a whole community in itself, but then you get inside the Ford Center, and what a great venue for a bowl game like this especially. I mean, it holds 12,000. They announced just under 8,000, which is more than twice what they're expecting for the bowl game that's going to be in there Tuesday night.
Yeah.
between Ohio and UNLV, but I thought the crowd turned out pretty much equal with A-State and Missouri State fans. It just made for a really fun environment, and it was what you and I talked about last week here with the bands in there and it being about two-thirds full. It got really loud in there. It was fun.
How was your vantage point, right? You're on a concourse level, is that?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I didn't need a spotter for the game. That's a little bit different because, you know, we're set up at the top of the concourse, and it's like broadcasting a game in a basketball arena. I mean, it's the lowest vantage point that I've had outside of maybe the Kibbe Dome in Idaho back in the day when we were there. And, you know, we were really, really low this season at Kennesaw State. But, yeah, we're right on top of the concourse, kind of mixing in with the fans. And it made for a fun broadcast for us. So just everything. And we had Carol Ritchie set up right there in Championship Plaza as the first part of our pregame. As people were coming in, we had speakers, and they could kind of hear all that as the fans are coming in. So really great the way the folks at the Bowl treated us. They really, really took care of us all the way around. And Butch Jones echoed that afterwards. He said, hey, this was a top-notch bowl experience. And shout out to the Weston Stonebriar. They really took care of us as well. They embraced everything we were doing, from our radio broadcast there to the pregame parties. And they had a big event the night before on Wednesday night where there were a lot of people in the lobby and in the restaurant at the hotel. So it was great just around the bowl game. But let's talk about the game itself. It couldn't have started much better. Missouri State actually won the toss, and they opted to take the football to start the game. Our defense forces a three and out. We drive down and score on the opening possession, and Jalen Rayner is able to find Jalen Benelli in the back corner of the end zone.
Ball the right hash, A-State second and six from the Missouri State seven. Cobb on the short side, twin split left. Rayner looking left side. This ball is caught. Back corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jalen Benelli. And the Red Wolves have struck first with 10:59 remaining in the opening quarter.
Perfect start, and maybe the perfect situation to get a fast start in. Like maybe when you start and look at it, the elements were there in that you're looking at Missouri State sideline. You know, they're in a bowl game for the first time, so everything about that's new. They got an interim head coach over there. You know, everything about that's new. So, you know, maybe you go back and look at it. Maybe it makes sense to come out, and it'd been a heck of a opportune time to come out playing well and maybe punch them in the mouth a little bit, and that's what ended up happening.
Later in the first quarter, we saw history.
Now third down and 10, Rayner airing it out, going deep left side for Rucker, caught, 30, 20, 10, Corey Rucker to the house.
And there's your record, Matt. There's your 4,000 record right there, as you see Corey do the backflip in the end zone. But that's what you talk about, these one-on-one matchups, these double moves. I mean, this is Corey Rucker we're talking about. You're going to have to put somebody over the top of this guy or do something, because it's not going to be a one-on-one matchup that he's not going to win or have a chance to win. I mean, Corey has done this for a long period of time. He's an experienced receiver, and you see him go for an explosive play.
Corey Rucker has just become the 24th player in FBS history to go over 4,000 career receiving yards. He is also A-State's all-time leader all by himself in career receiving touchdowns. That is the 27th of his remarkable career.
And what a way to go out. Corey finishes with 6 catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown. He was named offensive MVP. And he finishes his career with 4,121 yards, 21st all-time on the FBS level. Couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, pretty poetic. I mean, it would have been fine if he put up the exact same numbers and somewhere along the way caught a short touchdown pass and somewhere along the way, you know, caught this 10, 12-yard pass that put him over 4,000, but to do him in the same play, that's pretty neat.
Grizz never steps on me either during the broadcast, but he couldn't help himself. And, you know, it actually made for a really fun call, so enjoyed that. It's 14-0 at that point, and later in the first half, Clune Van Andel knocks through a career-long 54-yard field goal. I think it would have been good from 60.
It had a real good shot.
And later on in the ball game, we ended up punting when it would have been a 60-yard field goal. We wanted to pin them deep, you know, playing the field position game, but kind of thought, well, it would have been interesting to see Clune attempt from 60 because of what we saw that first time out. But that was his fourth make of over 50 this year and the fifth of his career. He's already got the school record for field goals made of over 50 yards. And then later in the first half, Jalen Rayner finds Chauncey Cobb for a touchdown.
Rayner with time, throws it right side. This is caught. Chauncey Cobb with the touchdown. Jalen Rayner with his third touchdown pass of the first half. And the Red Wolves are in the end zone again with 6:14 remaining in the second quarter.
And the Red Wolves are up 24-7 at the intermission. And a big reason for it, obviously, Jalen had a big half. The offense was playing well, but the defense was dominating. They finished with 8 sacks on the night. And by the way, the Red Wolves now 7th in the nation in sacks per game. Kyle Taylor, what a great story that was. He grew up in the colony, which is 8 minutes away from the Ford Center. He graduated high school in the Ford Center. And he ends up in his final game being named defensive MVP at 10 tackles. DeMarcus Hendricks had a huge night in his final game. He had 2 sacks. And then at the other defensive end spot, Ethan Hassler, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, he was a Red Wolf all the way through. One thing he talked about when he was here was the fact that, look, he's been to a couple of bowl games before, but this is the first time that he's been able to play. He finished with 2.5 tackles for a loss. He had a strip sack, 1.5 sacks on the night. But, man, it's great to see somebody like Ethan Hassler go out on a high note like that.
Yeah, that defense, they were just all over those guys. Yeah, there's a difference between watching a football game and a team's bad on offense or a team's good on defense. Even though sometimes the results may be the same, those are two different things. It's fun to watch a team play well on defense, and that certainly was the case for our bunch there the other night.
Especially when they're getting after the quarterback as much as they are. The Red Wolves went up 31-7 early in the second half. That's when Devin Spencer found the end zone.
Rayner will hand it off to Spencer. Running left. Breaks the tackle inside the 20, 15, 10, 5. Devin Spencer is into the end zone for the score. Devin Spencer from 25 yards out gives A-State their first rushing score of the night with 10:23 remaining in the third quarter.
That was his third rushing touchdown of the year. So we were up big at that point, but credit Missouri State. They kept fighting, and especially their quarterback. I mean, he took a beating, and you know, they were able to come back. They got to within 34-28 with a couple of minutes to go. You knew the onside was coming, and Reed Linder able to fall on top of it. At that point, Missouri State was out of timeout, so the Red Wolves just able to take a knee 3 times and run out the final 2 minutes on the clock. And the celebration was on.
The viral sensation now, the Master Chief.
Yes.
And Butch Jones side by side.
The power duo we didn't know we needed.
That got a lot of play on social media, man.
A-State finishes 7-6, back-to-back winning seasons. And look, we're not here to sugarcoat it. I mean, this team was 1 yard away from winning the Western Division. That was the goal, to try to get to the Sun Belt Championship game. It would have been great to get to that point. And in that respect, you know, frustrated a little bit. But what I'm going to remember is how this team responded after those back-to-back heartbreaking losses. And to respond the way they did in Boone, to win that game, to become bowl eligible on the final day of the regular season in a place where not many people win, and then follow it up with the performance they had the other night at Missouri State. It was a good way to finish.
It's really such an interesting season, the way it unfolded. And so sometimes it's just going to boil down to your perspective. Because as you said, people could look at it and say, yes, 7-6, you won a bowl game. But gosh, there was a 9 or 10 win season out there. And that very well could be true. There was also a 9 loss season out there, not very far away.
Yes, especially when you consider all the one-score games.
Yeah, so kind of depends on how you will look at it. Both of those, it's crazy to think both of those things are true, and they 100% are. And so, you know, why wouldn't the bowl game, despite, you know, where the score got at one point, Why would it not come down to needing to wrap up an onside kick to secure a one possession win?
Very fitting. And extremely excited for the guys to be able to celebrate the way they did Thursday night in Frisco.
Hey, one thing, I saw this in the TV broadcast and then talked with a couple of our folks who were there and said the same thing. And I want to shout out. And the thing about this is I don't know who this shout out's going out to necessarily, because I noticed when they would show shots of the Arkansas State crowd, it was a bunch of people I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just over and over, and talked to a couple of the people, university staff and this and that, who were putting on functions, and even they made a comment of, how many, you said the usual suspects were there, but there were a bunch of A-State people they didn't know and hadn't seen before down in Frisco at the bowl games. That was cool to see and hear.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Let's talk men's basketball. They just finished a three-game trip where they were on the road for over a week. It was a nine-day trip in total.
Went out on the 12th, got back on the 20th. Had an infant with them the whole time. It was quite the trip.
What I found out, just talking to everybody before the game and a little bit after the game on Saturday, was these people really like each other. Look, I don't care how much you love each other. I mean, families experience this. You spend that much time together nonstop for over a week. A lot of people would say, yeah, I need a break. I'm a little bit sick of these guys. Nobody said that. And look, I even had off-the-record conversations, private conversations with people. Everybody said, yeah, it's been a great trip. That's not typical. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Coach Pannone and the kind of atmosphere, kind of character that he has on this team. But I think that character showed in the way they responded on the court, because after the one-point loss at Rice, and we talked about it last week, played really well for the first 32 minutes of that game before Rice came back in the final 8 minutes and they were able to win it. So they had a few days to regroup while they were down there in Texas. And they came out really strong at Texas State on Wednesday in the conference opener. And that was a Texas State team that was 7-0 on their home floor. Texas State was also number one in the league in rebounding margin. They were out rebounding their opponents by 8 a game. But our guys just flat out toughed them, out rebounded them 39-23. The Red Wolves shot over 56% from the field. They were 12 of 22 from three. Christian Harmon, a big part of that. He was 5 of 7 from three. He matched his season high with 21 points. And they did not let the Rice game repeat itself, because they finished strong and went on to win it 89-70.
Yeah, I mean, you can take the Rice game and sort of convert it from a loss to a lesson, if that's what you choose to do.
And they did.
And that's what they did. And I said last week, does anybody like the way the Rice game went? No, but much better on December 13th than January or February or March 13th. And yes, I got right back in that situation again to kind of have control of the game, and obviously finished it in a much different fashion.
They followed that up by going to Southern Miss on Saturday. A Southern Miss team that was also undefeated at home going in. They were really good on the boards, too. Top three in the league in rebounding margin, but the Red Wolves out-rebound them by 8 and had 16 offensive boards that led to 26 second-chance points. 5 players finished in double figures. Chandler Jackson with 18 points. Jackson Ellingsworth, 16-6. Jalen Hampton, he was fantastic. He had 15-7. And Christian Harmon finished with 14 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, and didn't turn the ball over. And the Red Wolves went on to win it 93-86. So a 2-0 start to conference play. 5th road win before Christmas. That's the first time that's ever happened in program history. And we talked about it a lot here when the season started. Hey, they've got a tough schedule to start. They've got 9 of the first 13 on the road. And here we are 13 games in, and they've won 9 of them. So it goes to show you just how good of a start this team has been able to get off to, and they just keep getting better.
They do, and staring right at now the looming return of Joey Chama into the mix too, right? Was actually dressed out Saturday, is the word, or at least warmed up a little bit.
He had his T-shirt and his game shorts on.
So that's closer all the time.
He looks good. He'll be ready to go on the 30th.
So let's talk about this stretch coming up. It starts on the 30th, and I know you got in your notes here that Coach Pannone's already talking about ready to be back.
I want to play a clip here because this is Coach Pannone from his post game with me on Saturday. He kind of starts the recruiting of the fans, the promotion of this 4-game homestand for us.
I mean, to get that 4-game homestand is going to be amazing. Obviously, we have Arkansas Tech coming out, and I'm going to continue to say this. We need the fans out there. We're going to have a big kid zone. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have face painting. We're going to have hot chocolate and candy. It's going to be an amazing experience. Everyone knows that when I took this job, we talked about it, I'm a family-friendly person. And one of the things I love about this community is how family friendly it is. And we've got these games coming up. We're going to make it a blast for your kids. So it's not just they're coming to watch the games. They're going to have the inflatables. We're going to have, like I said, hot chocolate and candy. And then the parents could kind of kick back, relax, and watch the game and have a little break. We're going to begin to make it a big-time entertainment situation for your kids. So get your kids out. Get their friends out. Have your babysitter take them. Go on a date night. Don't care. Let's fill up the stands.
Number one, they hadn't played a home game in 4 weeks by the time this Arkansas Tech game rolls around. So for 4 weeks, you hadn't had a chance to see this team in person. That changes on the 30th. And I think people are anxious to get this team back home. But after that, see, this is really this 4-game homestand, there's a certain blessing and a curse aspect to it. Obviously, after that stretch, you're glad to be home and this and that. But all four of those games in this 4-game homestand are being played before classes start back at Arkansas State. It's kind of on the rest of us to help pick up, fill the void of the students being gone. A couple of the ways we'll do that is for each of these four games, and we're saving room for the students who are still around and still want to come watch some basketball, and I know some will, but there are sections of seats in the student section available for sale for these four games. You basically can say you can come be a student for a day and sit in the student section and hopefully
get Ted Herget out there.
Hopefully make some noise. You can get $15 lower-level seats, and so including some availability in the student section for all four of these home games because you got Arkansas Tech, but after that, it's three conference games, and it ain't just any old three conference games. It's James Madison, Troy, and Texas State before the spring semester starts on campus.
Those are three of the top contenders in the league.
So we've got to create an atmosphere, and I know he's so big on the family aspect of it. You saw what he did with the preseason event, making it a family-friendly event. These four games, we're going to have a full-on Hijinks Kid Zone in First National Bank Arena for these four games with inflatables and hot chocolate and candy and games.
Love it.
Up on the concourse level of the arena. You mentioned the $15 lower level tickets. There's also going to be the ability to all four of those games. You can get four upper level seats for $26, kind of play off the fact that it's this, New Year's 26 homestand. We've got a little mock up champagne flutes that we're going to give out at the Arkansas Tech game.
All right.
Other promo items after that we can talk about. But it's a big stretch of games, not just because they've been gone, but because of who they're playing in this homestand. And you're always a little nervous. You play these home games when the students aren't here. And so we can all hopefully do our part to fill the void and create that juice in that end zone and keep this thing rolling.
It's KevinNowCars.com. Just cars to see and SUVs.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk about the women's basketball team. They've moved their win streak to 8 in a row. They're rolling. They started conference play in a really big way this past week. A couple of home games. They beat ULM last Wednesday, 79-58. Hit 15 threes in that game and forced 27 turnovers. Marley Dickerson leading the way. She had 18 points, 4 assists, 4 steals, 4 rebounds.
And she became, at the time, the 7th different leading scorer in what was a 7-game win streak.
That's unbelievable.
And she beat
unbelievable.
And the thing about it is she beat out at the end. Like, it came down to the wire, and it was either going to be her, Marley, or Mia Tarver. And had Mia done it, she would have been the 7th different leading scorer in the 7-game win streak.
Mia hit 5 threes
she
in
did.
That one.
Yeah, went 5 for 10 from the 3-point line. So hard to separate these games, but in totality of it, it then moving the win streak on Saturday to 8. And we'll talk about the South Alabama game. But remember, this team, they played one conference game before Christmas last year. It was App State. They looked pretty bad. Got beat 15 or so. I think we're sitting at 4-7. And, you know, Dez has talked a lot about sort of the crossroads this team was at this time a year ago. And how they responded to that was come out and won 11 straight conference games when they got back on the floor. But now it didn't take till after Christmas for this team. They've now won 8 straight going into Christmas, 2-0 in conference play. And not sound like a broken record, but, man, they're such a fun watch because they just do things in a different way.
After that ULM game, they beat South Alabama 74-61 on Saturday. They were good on the glass, plus 14 in the rebound margin. They forced 29 turnovers. Chrislyn Rose and Zion Shannon each had 14 points. And look, you're going to have off shooting days. You got to be able to win despite that. And they were 3 of 27 from 3 in this game and still won by double digits.
Yeah, Des and I had a conversation about that after the game. Said, I know you don't want it to happen, but you just went 3 for 27 from the three, turned it over 25 times yourself, and won a conference game by double digits. Actually, it's going to do this team some good at some point to know they can win on a day where the three-pointers just aren't falling. And South Alabama did a good job defensively, especially in the first half.
They're a lot better this year.
They are, and they had a good approach defensively. You know, didn't give up much on the three-point line early, but this team just, you know, they just stay with it. They stay with it. And again, they're just going to challenge your depth. They spend the first three quarters dragging you to the deep end, so then they can let you go and see if you swim or not, you know, in the fourth quarter, because you just watch them wear people down. How many teams in the country, and I happened to look up and see when this happened, all 5 starters came out of the game 1:49 into it Saturday.
That doesn't happen.
They do what they do. The kids have bought in, and you see the results now. They've won 8 straight.
They're now 10-3 overall. They're 2-0 in conference play. And up next, they'll be in Fayetteville Sunday afternoon at 2 to take on the Razorbacks. Last time we had a team go over to Fayetteville, it was a good trip. Volleyball was able to win a couple of months ago over there, and hopefully women's hoops can do the same thing.
Looking forward to seeing how that one goes.
I do want to play another clip here. This is Coach Jones, post-game with us on Thursday night. And it was really late, so not sure how many people were able to hear this, but I do want to make sure it gets heard here because he talks about how much Coach Dez means to him.
Just so many things to continue the momentum and upward trend that we have, not just in football, but our entire athletic department. Shout out to Coach Dez. Couldn't do this without her. She picks me up all the time. She's my inspiration. So, Dez, if you're back home listening, I love you. I'll be now to return the favor at practice and for games.
It's great that all these coaches get along the way they do, or at least it helps a lot.
Yes, it does. It
helps a lot in the athletic department. That's not always been the case. And when they do get along and they support each other, I think it just makes the athletic department that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. When they're not tension between the programs or the coaching staffs? Or, and you saw this happen last year with Coach Jones and Dez. They built this bond, and multiple times last season as that team got on a roll, I'd look down at the scores table at some random women's game, and Coach Jones would be sitting there watching. And times you saw them sit and talk, and like he did interviews in the spring wearing Women's Basketball Conference Champions T-shirt. So that is a cool little story and bond those two have going.
Anything else we need to add here?
Well, I would say I mentioned all those promotions or ticket options with that men's stand. If you go to astateredwolves.com/holidays, you can see all those, the $15 lower level seats, the 4 for $26 upper level seats. You can even, by the way, there's also right now one of the holiday deals is discounted baseball season tickets.
Oh, really?
You know, grab those now and make those a gift or get it taken care of and save you some money. I'd grab those things right now.
Man, that's going to be here sooner than you think.
Yep.
And a lot to be excited about with Coach Silva's program as well. Hey, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Always appreciate you listening. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.